Those who don't know me, my name is Giovanni Matamoros. I've been attending this church for about a year and a half, and it's always a privilege to have these moments to lead ourselves, myself included, into the presence of God. Amen. And even more so to be able to share what I believe God has placed in my heart this morning. Now, before we start, I like us to pray for Pastor Ken. I don't know if he's watching us online or listening to us online, but he's doing some family obligations this weekend, and I didn't tell him we were gonna pray for him, but let's pray for him. He's a good guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he preaches well. He preaches really good. He preaches better than I do. And he doesn't have an accent. Why don't we stand up and let's pray for our Pastor Ken, amen? So that wherever he is and wherever he's doing with his wife, that he does it well, amen?
Amen?
Lord Jesus, Father, thank you, God, for this day you've given us. Beautiful sunny day, Lord. Father God, we want to pray for our Pastor Ken, Lord. Father God, we believe that you have placed him in our midst to lead us, Lord, to envision those things that we need to see, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray that wherever he is and whatever he's doing this weekend, Lord, that you be with him. Guard him, keep him safe on the highway there and back, Lord, and give him peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. This morning, I want to talk to you under the title, What the Church Is and What the Church Is Not. And I'm not here to give you a theological sermon. This is just some things that I believe through the reading of the scripture and asking people and reading some books. Some things that I believe that what the church is and what the church is not. And under that title, I want to talk to you about, and this is where my Spanglish gets mixed up, eh? My English and my Spanish, right? I don't know if you noticed, but it says there are three wrongs, three wrong ways to think of the church. It should say three wrong ways to think of the church. Amen? So excuse my Spanglish there. But, and I'm supposed to be using this thing here. What the church is and what the church is not. And I want to base it on Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 16 to 18. You might have it on your Bible. You'll have it on your Bible, but you also have it on your PowerPoints up here. And it says this. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus says to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for no mortal man revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I'll tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That's a beautiful verse, amen? Oftentimes, we think of the church as the four walls. We think of the church in terms of denominations. You know, we have the Baptist church over here and the Pentecostal church over there and the Presbyterians over here. And to some respect, that is the church as well. But it goes further than that. It's more than that. It's more than four walls. It's more than a denomination. Number one, the church is born in the heart of God. Ephesians 1:4, Titus 1:2, 2 Timothy 1:9, Romans 8:29. It speaks of the church is more than a political movement. The church is not a social construct. The church is not a philosophical invention. It's more than that. It's not that. It's more than that. We're not here to push a political agenda. We're not here to create a set of philosophical beliefs. We're not here to run a social system. No, it's more than that. The church was born in the heart of God. Before the foundations of the world, God has chosen us as people, as individual, to belong to his body, to belong to the church. Amen? You know, and that ought to give us identity. That ought to give us a good, healthy self-esteem. You know, that I was chosen by God to belong to the church. That you were chosen by God to belong to his body. That we were chosen by God. Not to push an agenda, not to pursue happiness as something abstract out there in the skies. No, we are here because he chose us before the foundations of the world. Amen? You know, I don't know if you came because somebody invited you. I don't know if you're here because of, it's a custom for you to be here on Sundays. But, you know, being a Christian, being a child of God, is because he chose me. He chose you. He chose us. He had mercy on us in spite of our circumstances. And before the foundations of the world, before anything, everything was created, you, my friends, were in God's mind. Edmondson Heights Baptist Church was in God's mind. It's not pure coincidence. It's not pure coincidence that the Baptist church is here in Peterborough doing this thing. It's not coincidence that the Spanish church is here doing their thing. It's not coincidence that the Gainan church is here doing their thing. No, it's because of God had mercy on us. It's because we were in his mind. We were in his heart. We were in his plans. Amen? That's the church. The church is born in the heart of God. Amen? Number two. The church is the maximum expression of love within the Trinity. And there's so much I can talk about this point. The church, you and I, all of us together, we are the maximum expression of love within the Trinity. It's a beautiful thing to think of this. God the Father chose us before the creation of the world, the foundations of the world. And he gives the chosen people to God the Son so that he can die for us on the cross and redeem us. And then God the Holy Spirit, he seals us with his love and he leads us into all truth. Let me explain that point a little bit better. You know, I was thinking about Christmas. Christmas is just around the corner. 2 more months and we're celebrating Christmas. And I was thinking about this. You know, what is the most beautiful thing about Christmas? It's not the Christmas tree. It's not the lights and the decorations. For me, anyway, Christmas is that time where we sit together around the table and we exchange the presents, right? We exchange gifts. And I bring this gift to you, and you give me a gift, and we celebrate in family, among friends and families, right? There's that exchange of gift and presents among friends and families. I'll give you another example. It's a beautiful thing when to see people who are in love. It's really nice to see. You know, they go get ice cream. And typically the guy pays the bill when they're dating. And the guy buys ice cream to the girlfriend. And he says, "Hey, honey, I buy you an ice cream. You eat it." And because they're in love, the other person says, no, you eat it. You go first." And then the other guy says, the guy says, no, you have it. You have it. You have the first bite. No, you have it, honey. It's your issue. You pay for it. You have the ice cream." And to some respect, that's the church. The church is that present that is within the Trinity of God. God chose us before the foundations of the world, and he gave us to his Son so that he can die for us. And then the Son presents that present back to God, and God the Father gives it to the Holy Spirit so that he can seal us with his love. You see what I'm saying? So the church, us as a group, we are that present, that beautiful thing in God's hand, and the Trinity of God. That's a beautiful thing, don't you think? Ephesians, you can look it up. Ephesians 1, 13, 14, it says that. God the Father shows us. God the Son dies for us. And God the Holy Spirit purifies us, seals us, and leads us into all truth. That's a beautiful thing. Amen? And again, I can say so many things about what the church is. There has been encyclopedias written about the church. But I'll leave you with those two points. That the church was born in the heart of God. And the church is the most precious thing within the Trinity of God. Amen? You following me? I want to talk to you about what the church is not. The church, my friends, is not a marketplace. When we gather here in this building, it's not a marketplace. We don't come here to demand God that gives us our desires, to bless our needs, and to answer all of our prayers. Although God does that in his sovereign will. But that's not the main point. We don't come here because we don't come here to buy miracles from God. We don't come here to twist his arm and obligate him to respond to every single need of that we have. You know, he's not Santa Claus. He's not a microwave. He is God. You know, oftentimes the consumer mentality, we bring that mentality into the church, and we believe oftentimes that we must have the greatest, the newer, and the better. And we often look at the church as to what the church can do for me. What can I get from the church? What can I get from the congregation? And that's not it, my friends. We don't come here because of what God can do for me. I come here not because of what God can possibly do for me tomorrow or next month or next year. I come here to church to bless his name, to worship his name, to worship, to give praises to who he is and what he has done for me. In spite of what happens. And typically, this is the amazing thing, that when we lift up his name, that we worship his name, he will give us his peace. He gives us his spirit. He gives us a sense that our lives are in his hands. But we don't come here to buy miracles. We don't come here to see what we can get from the congregation, and what we can do, and what we can get from the Sunday morning's experience. We come here to worship his name. Amen? And when we fix our eyes on him, the mountains around us seem to be very small, very small. I'll give you an illustration right now. See this lid over here? It's very small, isn't it? Would you agree that this lid is small? It's very small. I mean, compared to this stand, it's very small. See, look, it's very small. Compared to my face, it's very small, right? I hope, anyway. Compared to this auditorium, this lid is very small. But this is what happens. Suppose that this lid is that problem that you're facing. It could be a sickness. It could be a physical challenge. It could be your financial situation. It could be a family relationship situation. And this is what often happens, is that we often put our eyes on that little problem, however insignificant that it might be. And sometimes what happens is we talk about that problem more than what we talk about God. And this is what happens.
Oh, I lost my job. Oh, I'm sick. I don't know if I'm ever going to get healed. Oh, no, and what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen with my situation, with the family situation? Oh, pastor, pray for me because my problem. Oh, pastor and sister and brother, pray for me because my problem, my problem, my problem. And every time we talk about that problem, the little thing that looked very insignificant, all of a sudden is up here. It's a big problem. And we're walking around talking about my problem, my challenges, my mountains. Oh, pastor, my problem. right there. Oh, pastor, my situation, my mountains, pastor, pray for me, my problem, my problem. My friend, don't fix your eyes on your problem. Fix your eyes on God as to who God is and what he can do for you. Speak to you, to yourself, the promises of God. And when we come to church, that's precisely what we do. We set aside our circumstances. We set aside our struggles. And we fix our eyes on God and what he can do, as to who he is. And in spite of the circumstances, it doesn't mean that we become oblivious to the mountains. It doesn't mean we come blind to the situation. It means that our eyes are fixed on God. Amen. And when we come to church, we don't come to a marketplace to get what we want. We come to church to refocus our eyes on God, to refocus our faith in God, to anchor ourselves as to who he is and what he can do for us and what he has done for us. Amen? Number two. The church is not a museum of perfect people. It's not an entertainment center. It's not a museum. Oh, look at how beautiful this building is. Oh, look at how beautiful the worship team is. Look at how beautiful. Oh, wow. And how many years have you been here? Have you been coming? Oh, really? Oh, wow. Look at that. And look at the lights and look at the chairs. Oh, look at the people, how beautiful they are, how perfect they are. No, my friend, it's the opposite. The church is not a museum. The church, we're not here to be entertained by the music, entertained by the lights and everything else that happens around the Sunday morning services. We don't come to church because we are perfect. We come to church precisely because we need God. Amen? We come to church precisely because no one here is exempt from trouble and problems and circumstances in life. We come to church precisely because I'm not perfect. And I need God. I need to fix my eyes on him. I need to anchor myself in his promises. I don't know if you remember, but I said this before, that the church, it's somewhat, in some respect, it's like a hospital. I used to work in a hospital before. And one of the units that I used to work in was the ICU, intensive care unit. You know, and I never heard one patient criticizing the other person. They never do. They never criticize each other. Because one person, one patient, one sick person realizes that he's also sick, just like the other person. You know, and to some extent, that's how we ought to be in the church. There shouldn't be room to criticizing people. There shouldn't be room to criticizing each other and pointing fingers at each other. Why? Because I do need God too. Just as much as you do, just as much as they do over there, just as much as all of us do. It's not a museum that we have to admire people. It's not a place, a Hollywood. There's no stars here. We are all in the same boat. We are all needing God. We all need Jesus. We all need the doctors of doctors. Amen? We don't come to church because we have a crown and wings on our back. We come to church because we need God. I need God. I need to hear the spoken word. I need to sing together with my brothers and sisters and together lift up his name. I need to be strengthened in the Lord. I need a hug from my sister. I need an encouragement from my brother. I need us. Amen? It's not a museum. It's not a place for entertainment. It's the opposite. We need God. I need God. I need God in my life. I need him more than yesterday. And I will need him more than today. I'll need him tomorrow. I'll need him next week, next month. And so do you. All of us. All of us face circumstances. And the only resource that we have, our God who is faithful, a God who loves us, a God who can forgive us, a God who can lift us up, a God that can restore us, a God that can give us hope. That's why we come to church. I don't come to church to look at Pastor Ken and the beautiful family over there and the beautiful kids over there. I don't come here to fix my eyes as to how beautiful the lights are and the beautiful the music are. No. I come here because I need his presence. I need to be reminded that he's good. I need to be reminded that he's faithful to his word. I need to be reminded that without him, I'm nothing. Amen? And the church is not, number three, the church is not a place without the cross. The church is not a place without the cross. You know, salvation is by grace, through faith. But our Christian life, our spiritual growth, requires character and discipline. It's one thing to say, you know, God loves you, God loves you, it's okay, it's okay. And God loves us. But there are things in my life, there are things in our lives, in your life, that we need to bring to the cross. We need to let go. We need to ask God to redeem us, to renew us. And in a church without the cross, it's not a church, because that's precisely what Jesus requires of us. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple must carry the cross and deny themselves. There are things in my life that I need to let go of. There are things in your life that you need to let go of. And as a body of Christ, as a church, there are things that we need to let go. And when we come to church, we need to realize that God is holy and that he requires of those things. It's a place where the spoken word tells us what the cross represents. At the cross, I see my sin. On the cross, I see God's love. At the cross, I see God's judgment. At the cross. It is not a place without the cross. Salvation is by grace, through faith. But a spiritual growth requires character and discipline. And the words of the Apostle Peter says this: but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special possession of God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful life. 1 Peter 2:9-10. In other words, the church is made up of a group of imperfect people chosen by God. And that makes the difference. I'll say it again. The church is made up of imperfect people. People who have a story to tell. people with broken lives, people with broken families, people with broken relationships, with a past, a story to tell. But we have been chosen by God, and my friends, that makes the difference. If you are a child of God, it's because of nothing that you've done. We don't bring anything to the table of salvation. It is because God had mercy on us. It's because God remembered us before the foundations of the world. And he has chosen us to be part of his body. Oftentimes we have this saying in Spanish, you know, burchest. You know, we walk around sometimes. You look at me and look at what I have done. Look at my accomplishments. Oh, yeah, you know, I've been coming to church for 60 years. You know, I started the Spanish church. I started the church over here. I started the ministry over there. And look at me. No, my friends. If we belong to God, it's because he had mercy on us. He shows us. He shows Giovanni. He shows Enrico. He shows you over there and you over here. We bring nothing to the table, my friends. It's all because of God. And that makes the difference. That makes the difference. That gives us identity. That gives us hope that in spite of my past, that in spite of my brokenness, in spite of my history, in spite of my closet, I belong to the living God. I belong to Christ. I belong to God, and he loved me first. The Apostle John says, look at how God has lavished his love on us, that he has called us children of God. The Apostle John also says, if we love God, it's not because I love him first. If I love God, it's because he loved me first. This is what love is. Not that I love him, but rather that he loved me. And he loved us. He loved you in spite of who you are, in spite of your brokenness, in spite of whatever you've done in the past. And that makes the difference, that God chose us. Amen? Am I making any sense? Now, this is three wrong ways to think about the church. So first, we must understand that we were chosen before the foundations of the world. We were in his mind and in his heart. We must understand that we are God's precious present, precious gift. We are the apple of his eyes. We are the most beautiful thing within the Trinity. Right? And he has called us for a purpose. Not because of our accomplishments, but rather because of what he has done. But this is what happens. Sometimes we think of the church the wrong ways, you know. The first thing we think of the church is this, that we believing that we must be sinless individuals and have it all figured out to belong to his church. You know, believing that we must be sinless individuals, that we have to have it all figured out to belong to the church. And that's not true. We all sin. We all fall short from the glory of God. We all have a story to tell. And yet, God calls us to his table. God says, come to me, those who are tired and thirsty, and I will give you rest. I'll ask you a question. With this exception of Jesus Christ, Name one person in the Bible who was perfect, who didn't commit any sin, who didn't have any shortcomings. No one. Moses? Oh, my goodness gracious. David? Oh, my goodness gracious. Who else? Peter? Paul? Who? John? Oh, my goodness. No one. Giovanni? Oh. Enrico? Oh. No one, my friends. We don't have to have it all figured out. We don't have to be perfect. God loves us in spite of your imperfections. In spite of it all. Now, I'm not talking about sin whenever, however you want. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that in spite of your struggles, in spite of your past, in spite of those things that nobody sees, only God sees, in spite of all of that, God shows you to be part of his body. God shows me. God shows Edmondson Heights Baptist Church. Amen. It's not pure coincidence that we showed up out of the blue and boom, 60 years later, here we are. No, he chose us. Not because we're sinless, not because we're perfect individuals with perfect families. No. We don't have to have it all figured out. Number two, believing that we must first know each and every theological doctrine about God. That's crazy, isn't it? Sometimes, oh, Pastor, if you only knew what I've done. Pastor, I don't understand this thing about the cross and some guy dying on the, I don't understand. What is this thing with the Trinity? Like, what is this thing with the communion, like bread and wine? I don't understand. It's by faith, my friends. I'll give you an example what faith is. Okay? I'm going to grab this chair over here. So this is faith. And I'm going to prove to you that in our everyday life, we all live by faith. Whether you like it or whether you believe it or not. But here's faith. You ready? You ready? Yeah. So this is faith. You got it? For those who didn't get it, I'll do it again. So this is faith. I don't know how many screws that chair has. I don't know how old that chair is. I don't know who made that chair. But by faith, I know that that chair is going to hold my body. Why? Because I am tired, from walking. I need rest for my body. And by faith, I lean myself onto this chair. My friend, that's what Christ is asking us. Come to me, all of you who are tired and thirsty, and I will give you rest. You don't have to know about Trinity and the blood and the cross and the clapping and the praising and the this and the that. No, just come to me, just as you are. With your past and your brokenness and your shortcomings and your closet and your things there and that or in this and that and that, come to me and I will give you rest step by step. The psalmist says that the word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Notice what he says, it's a lamp. Una luz pequeña, a lamp. He doesn't give us the panoramic view. It's a step by step. Okay, I'm trusting in you. I'm leaning on you. Father, I don't know what tomorrow might bring, but step by step, I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't know what tomorrow might bring. I don't know everything about the Bible, and neither does Pastor Ken, and neither do you. We know a little bit, pieces and pieces, all right? But just as we are, we trust, we have faith that, God will give us peace, and he will forgive us, forgive our sins, and he gives us hope, and day by day, he promises that he will be with us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Without having to understand every theological truth, doctrinal truth. Amen? It's through faith in Christ. It's by grace through faith in Christ. And you know, here's the funny thing. 99.99999% of our lives is all faith. But when we come to Christ, when we come to following Jesus, we're demanding a formula. Show me God. I want to hear his voice. Give me a formula, and then I'll believe in God. Which is kind of silly, because everything else in life is by faith. I'll give you an example. Who likes coffee here? All of us like coffee. Or tea. What about tea? Eh? By faith, you got up this morning from your bed, you went to the coffee machine or Tim Hortons, and by faith, you trusted that your spouse was not going to put poison in your coffee. Right? By faith, you trusted Tim Hortons or Starbucks that they were going to give you a good coffee. You didn't ask them. Hey, you didn't ask your spouse and say, hey, honey, do you put poison in my coffee? You know, you trusted your spouse that he was going to serve you a good coffee. You trusted Tim Hortons that he was going to sell you a good coffee. Amen? This morning, you got up and you came to church. You went in, you got into your car. By faith, you trusted that your car was going to turn on and bring you from point A to point B. None of you guys, I saw all of you guys, I saw that no one took a moment and before sitting on the chair, verified the chair. You all came and sat. Everything is faith. But oftentimes we come to Christ and say, no, I want to hear his voice. No, I want to see his face. Show me. Meanwhile, everything else is by faith. If you're looking for a job, you are believing and trusting that that resume will give you a job. Nothing is 100% certain. It's by faith in Christ. Amen? Number three, believing that we must have amazing gifts, talents, and abilities to be part of the church. Oh, Pastor, if I can only sing like as beautiful as Heather, if I can play as beautiful as Enrico, if I can sing as beautiful as that guy over there with the accent, if I can preach as good as Pastor Ken, oh, I'll come to church. Oh, Pastor, I got nothing to offer. I don't have any money, Pastor. I'm old, I'm sick, I'm broke. What can I bring to church? There's nothing else I can do. No, my friend, you don't have to have amazing gifts. You don't have to have amazing talents. Remember, the church is not a museum. We don't come here to admire Enrico and admire Heather and admire the lights and the carpet and the chair. No, we come as we are. You don't have to have it all figured out. You don't have to have amazing gifts. You don't have to have the perfect family. Talents, abilities to come to church. No, you come as you are. And the truth is, the real truth is that all of us have a gift. Don't tell me you don't have a gift. All of us do. You might not sing as beautiful as Heather or play as Enrico. You might not play the drums as good as somebody else, but you can serve coffee. But you can vacuum the carpet. Only one amen I got. No, you don't have to. You might not be able to preach as good as Pastor Ken, but you can put a smile on your face because somebody else needs that smile. Amen. You don't have to have it all figured out. You know, my head cannot tell my pinky toe is not needed. My finger, this little finger here, pinky finger, cannot tell my knee that it's not needed. We all need each other, my friends. The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of the body of Christ, that we all have a place, my friend. And just as you are, as broken, as horrible past that you might have, you come as you are. God gives you, first and foremost, He gives you forgiveness. He gives you hope. And then he unites you to the body of Christ with a talent and ability. We all have a place. It's not a museum. We don't come here to just observe. Oh, look at that. Beautiful. Oh, look at that. No, we come to belong. We belong to the body of Christ. God, what is it that you've given me that I can use for the church? What is it that you have already given me? What is it that you have blessed me with to be a blessing to somebody else? No? Maybe this week I had a good week that I have a testimony, but the person beside you might not have had a good week. And that person needs a hug. That person needs a prayer and an encouragement. You can do that. I can do that. Not everybody is called to preach. Not everyone is called to start a church or a ministry. No. But we are all called to serve one another, to love one another. Amen? I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. Look behind you. Look at the back right now. Look at the back. Okay? What do you see? The last row. I'm serious. What do you see? You know, I haven't asked the deacons and the elders, but I can see with my own eyes. You know, there are needs in this church, in this local church where we belong. There are needs that you can be a part of, that you can supply. You know what the greatest need right now is? And will be in the next couple of months? Can I tell you? And I haven't asked the board, the deacons, and the elders. This is just something that I see that will become a need. It's already a need. Can I tell you? Sunday school. Look at those four kids over there. Can you hear their loud voices? I can. Maybe God is calling you to help that department. Right? You don't have to know all the Bible Sunday school lessons from the Old Testament, but you can help. We can help. You know, we all have a place. And maybe God is calling you. God, what is it? Tell me. Speak to my heart. Speak to my mind. I know I have my problems. I know sometimes I'm busy. Sometimes they drive me crazy. But what is it that I can help? Just as I am, Lord. Here I am. Use me. What is it? You've given me love. You've forgiven my past. You've given me eternal life. Now I want to do something for the church, for my brothers and sisters. Use me, God. I don't have it all figured out. I don't know all the doctrinal truth. I don't understand all of it. All I know is that I have peace in my heart. All I know is that there's something in my heart that wants to love you back because you love me first. And God, with my brokenness, with my past, with my shortcomings, Lord, here I am. Use me. Sunday school. You know, somebody had to vacuum the carpet this morning. Somebody had to do it. I'm sure all of us went to the washroom this morning. Somebody had to wash those washrooms. Amen? Somebody had to do it. The angels didn't come and did it. Somebody had to do it. God, what is it? Talk to me. Tell me. You don't have to have it all figured out to belong to His church. We don't belong to this church, to the body of Christ, because of what I have done, my accomplishments. Oh, master degree and theological degree and my checking account. No, that's all garbage. That's all garbage. It's because of God's great love for us. God does not call the qualified. If you think you're qualified, you're out of the game. Because that's not what God uses. God uses the humble heart. The humble heart. The poor in spirit. The humble. The meek. Those are the people that God uses. Those are the people that God can use for His kingdom. That's you. If you're here, it's because you, at one point, you realize that you are poor in spirit and you need a God. And therefore, God can use you. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Pastor, if you only knew my past. Oh, it embarrasses me, Pastor. No, my friend. No. That's not how the game is. That's not how it is. God, if God calls you, He will qualify you. He qualifies you to serve, to be part of the body of Christ, to love one another so that the world know that we are His disciple. And that's the point. So that the world know that we are His disciple. That we are His church. That we are the chosen ones. Amen? Amen. So I want you to, this is the moment where we get to brainstorm. Why don't we do this? Let's talk about ourselves in groups of 4 and 5 for the next 5-10 minutes. So remember what I said, right? What the church is and what the church is not. There are encyclopedias about the church. This is just a tiny little bit of what I think the church is and the church is not. Question for you. What other misconceptions are there about belonging to the church? And what areas in this church is God calling you to serve in? What areas? The church is not a marketplace. The church is not a museum. We just come here and enjoy the movie theater. No. God calls us. He redeems us. He gives us a mission and a vision to love and to serve. Amen? Okay, let's take 5-10 minutes. What other misconceptions are there about belonging to the church? And what areas in this church, Edmondson Heights Baptist Church, is God calling you to serve in? Amen? Let's take 5-10 minutes. Praise God. Okay. Okay, my friends. Let's take a moment. We are going to take communion. It's the first Sunday of the month. And I was thinking about how can I bring the sermon with communion. And one of the things that I said was that we come to Christ just as we are, just as we are. You know, I'm remembering of the parable of the prodigal son. He said that the father kept looking down the horizon as to when the son would return. And when he saw the son running or coming, returning back, it says that the father did not wait for him to come to him. The father says that he ran to him. My friend, that's God with us. He didn't wait for you to become perfect. He didn't wait for you to become sinless. He didn't wait for you to have it all figured out. Just as you are, he died for us. The Apostle Paul says, while we were sinning. Isn't that amazing? While we were sinning, God died for us. Just as we are. Can you play that video?